Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw View. This is the show here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, where we review things, review old wrestling things. We have like a small announcement to make also. So we've got our Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair art contest. We're giving you guys, we're announcing the winner on this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the show, we're going to announce winners for this. But we wanted to say thanks again to St. Martin's Press. You guys should really check this book out. It's available right now. It's called Second Nature, written by Ric Flair and Charlotte Flair. And it's a fantastic read. You guys should definitely check it out. So over the past 2 weeks, we've been running this contest. An art contest
to give away a couple signed copies of the book.
Yeah, we got a couple of signed copies of the book. So we're going to announce the winners at the end of this program.
Correct.
And also there's another sort of programming note, kind of. So Going In Raw View, we really enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to do a little bit less of it. The original plan for this Sunday time slot on our channel was to do a rotating slate of programming.
Yeah, like once a month we do a Going In Raw View. Once a month we do something else.
Like a Gaming In Raw, because we were doing retro gaming.
So, you know, like on Sunday, you know, you get four different programming options per month. Four to five, depending on the Sundays are in the month.
Yeah, and so this is going to be the last one we do for probably about 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the patrons are still going to be able to view. I think also, like, on a weekly basis, not only is it difficult for us to sit through an additional 2 to 3 hours of wrestling content when there's other stuff that, you know, when like the Mae Young Classic came up, it was like, oh, that's a lot. This might afford us the opportunity to catch things like, you know, Ring of Honor pay-per-views or even Ring of Honor weeklies.
Or more New Japan stuff.
More
like
New
the
Japan
Destruction
stuff.
Tour just happened. Did I get a chance to watch any of that?
Right, exactly. So it just gives us an opportunity to stay current on what's going on today in wrestling. And on top of that, the thing that I like about the rotating Sunday thing is simply it gives this channel a more variety of stuff. Like, I want to do so, like, you know, we're about to head out to No Mercy and then do some other stuff. And, you know, it'll give us a slot for, you know, travel vlogs. Experiential pieces.
Yes.
Stuff like
stuff
that.
Stuff even we just go to shows.
Right, exactly. And let me catch up on Patreon stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sent you the link to the comic book. You
know? I know. Again, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
All right. Fair enough. So as long as it took me to do that, I'm not going to put pressure on you. That's the deal with Going In Raw View. Next week, we're going to have something different. I don't know if we've decided what that's going to be.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, cool. I'll assume that we have and still not know what it is. And so that's the deal with this. So this is the last Going In Raw View for this month. And then next month we'll have a new one.
Yep.
So this month, today, we're reviewing NXT Rival.
Yes, this last week we gave our patrons a choice of three pay-per-views centered around a pretty huge moment in Charlotte's career.
Yes.
This one won.
Yes.
And it was actually a really good show. I mean, I guess I should be surprised. NXT takeovers have delivered, you know, for sure the last couple of years. I mean, we've been watching consistently. And then this one, most definitely, even, granted, I'm going to say this, all the way back in February of 2015, even then, they were still delivering quality takeover events.
Yeah, this was sort of an interesting time for NXT. Certain things. So there was a lot more. You can even, like, go down the entire sort of all the divisions. From the main event scene to the women's division, the tag division. And it's almost like sort of a reversal of what's happening now. Because what I noticed, so, you know, the women's division obviously had a lot more parity, I guess. You know, it's like you had literally the four horsewomen still there.
Yeah.
And they were all kind of on equal footing.
Yeah.
As opposed to right now, or, you know, we have Asuka, who's obviously moving on.
Yeah, but she was... you know, in a far and different away stratosphere than anybody else in the women's division.
Anybody else, exactly. So now we have like a bunch of people who we're not really sure about. The tag division, I'm sorry, but, you know, Blake and Murphy are fine and Lucha Dragons are fine, but it's no, you know, we've got
Authors of Pain,
Authors
Sanity.
Authors of Pain, Sanity.
Re-Dragon.
Re-Dragon is
TM61
is
coming back soon.
They're trying to do stuff with Heavy Machinery. And, I mean, this is just coming off also DIY and The Revival. I mean, it feels like The Revival were just there yesterday. I know it's been a while.
I know.
But so the tag division was vastly different. The lower card, right now NXT is like stacked in terms of the main event. Back then, I mean, you had Baron Corbin on the rise. But, you know, now it's like all depth. Back then it was Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Neville was on his way out.
Yeah. Balor had just come to NXT about 7 months prior.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird flip situation than it is now. It was still a fascinating screenshot. I mean, this was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, 2.5 years ago. So that was Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
Okay, so the card kicked off with Hideo Itami versus Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze is a heel. Hideo Itami, this is right before Tyler Breeze. How far in advance was this from Tyler Breeze going up? I forget now.
Not that far.
I don't think it was that far away. Hideo Itami was a babyface.
Yeah, he had just signed with the company 6 months before the show.
Okay, all right. And I honestly found Hideo Itami boring at the time. I love him as a heel.
Yeah.
I just don't think he brought... I mean, there was nothing for him to chew on because he just got injured a bunch. Mm-hmm. Not a bunch. There was just two big injuries that he had.
Yeah, this is before either of them.
Right, exactly. But there wasn't a lot to chew on with him.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he had much of a character at the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, but Tyler Breeze did. He was doing, you know, sort of the forerunner to the Breezango thing that he
was his gimmick in NXT.
I mean,
the whole
it's
time.
The same thing.
Yeah,
exactly. But back then he was like sort of a prick, and now he's sort of like a lovable comedy guy.
Yeah,
he's not nearly as condescending. He's not nearly as, you know, stuffy as he was back then, his character anyway.
And I believe this this takeover brought us the debut of his selfie stick.
You know what's weird about this takeover is that I totally remember watching it.
Yeah.
But I remember Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens like it was yesterday. But for some reason, if you had quizzed me before this and you just said how long, like the four horsewomen having their fatal four-way, I would have figured that was like a good 6 months to a year before Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah.
In my head, the discontinuity is so odd, and
that's,
I don't know why. Because, for one thing, if you look at Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they look the exact same as they do now.
I know.
Kevin Owens, I think, was in better shape back then.
Yeah, I think so.
I noticed that
it seems like a lot of people were in better shape back then.
His arms were buffer.
They were.
Had more muscle.
Yeah.
And his belly was smaller.
Yeah, a bit.
Than it is now. Sami Zayn looked literally the exact same.
No, I think he was a little thinner than he is now. I think
you think so?
I think after when he was rehabbing his shoulder injury, when he came back from that, he put on some more mass.
Okay.
I feel like just a bit more, not a ton.
That could be.
But like Baron Corbin looked like he was in better shape.
Yeah, he looked in better shape. Charlotte looked vastly different.
Yeah.
And I think that was the thing about the horsewoman. Bayley looked the exact same. Sasha didn't have the shock hair, and so that made her look different. But Charlotte, her face, her like physical appearance.
Yeah, she was more. I don't know what the exact word is, but like she was muscular, but she was also thinner. It looked like her body fat percentage was in like the twos.
Right, right, yeah.
Because you can see like the muscle fibers in her shoulder when she moves a certain way. So.
Her face looked thinner,
yeah,
too. And then Becky Lynch looked way different, in my opinion. Like her stomach, like these days, she has like abs. Then she didn't. So, I don't know. It's just kind of silly to think about that stuff.
This first match, Hideo Itami, another wrestler who looked to be better shape.
Mm-hmm.
He was ripped.
Yeah,
his traps were huge.
Well, if you're on the shelf that long.
Oh, I know. I'm wondering if his shoulder surgery maybe gets in the way of his conditioning, too. Yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, he's still in really good shape.
He should have done the thing where like you can't do one shoulder, but you can do the other one. Then you just end up like Orndorff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. As Tyler Breeze is walking down the ring, I'm pretty sure it's Liv Morgan.
I thought it was, too.
Jumps the barrier.
Like, the closer I looked, I was like, is that her?
I thought it was.
But it was, yeah, I kind of thought
it looked a whole lot like Liv Morgan.
You think so? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Because I was watching on my little laptop, you know.
Yeah.
So I could
see
pretty well.
The women loved Tyler Breeze. That was his thing. The women loved Tyler Breeze. They loved his selfie stick. This was the debut of a selfie stick, like you said. The commentary was kind of weird.
They it was called, Rich Brennan, but yeah. There's no Tom Phillips.
Right.
I feel like Corey Graves must have been pretty recent.
Yeah, I think so.
Addition. And then Matt Bloom going by Jason Albert.
They call him Jason Albert.
He was good, though.
He was good. He just sounded a lot to me like Seth Rogen. if you go into it thinking that he sounds like Seth Rogen, you'll probably hear it. To my ears, that's just how it felt. Oh, look at that. That laugh he does. When did Graves start?
It was December. Well, he announced his retirement December 11th, 2014, so a couple months prior. So this is probably the first takeover.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is the first takeover that he was on commentary.
Oh, okay, wow. This is a good match. The one thing also that he can say about watching NXT back then that we sort of talk about on the main recap show is, man, they really let them wrestle like their own style. And this episode or this rival, this takeover, whatever you want to call it, really, really hammers that home. This and you see creativity in the ring.
You see differing styles.
You see differing styles. You see passion. You see people really, really hot about things.
You know what I notice in this show more than I really notice these days is a level of selling.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Breeze was selling like crazy to help get Itami over. So was Sami Zayn in the main event.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Especially the first half of that main event, Sami was selling like crazy.
You can absolutely tell that Sami wanted to do everything to make his best friend a star. That was a star-making performance. Not for Kevin Owens, because it was Kevin Owens becoming a star. Sami Zayn made Kevin Owens a star in that match. It was so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, Tyler Breeze, man, really, really selling the crap out of Hideo Itami, putting him over big time. Hideo Itami ended up winning with a claymore.
Well, it looked like a claymore. It was kind of the same move. That kind of running one-legged drop kick type deal.
Yeah.
That Drew McIntyre does.
Yeah.
But there was a decent story being told where Tyler Breeze is working over Tommy's legs because they were touting the commentary team was the whole time. Tommy's striking prowess, particularly with his legs.
Yeah.
His kicks, his vicious kicks.
And, of course, his other finisher, the go-to-sleep.
Yeah, which they tease once.
Mm-hmm,
The crowd went crazy for it.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the gimmick with him, too, is that
he would tease it but never do it.
And he was the first guy to do it since CM Punk.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I like that they still called it the go-to-sleep.
I know.
That was cool. Tyler Breeze ended up losing to Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Next up, we had
Bull Fit.
Before he was Bull Fit, he was Bull Dempsey.
Yep.
I'm kind of surprised that he didn't here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of Heavy Machinery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them. I want the wrestlers to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's a terrible gimmick. I feel like a guy like Bull Dempsey, if you took Tucker Knight out of that equation, added Bull Dempsey, who was tons of charisma.
Yeah.
Added Bull Dempsey with
Otis.
Otis.
Yeah.
I think that could... They might have been able to make it work.
Interesting.
I feel that because I think that one thing they're lacking...
I mean, Bull Dempsey legitimately looks like he could be a construction worker.
Well, he does. That's true. But I also think that I remember like his vignettes, like when he's starting to do the Bull Fit thing. He was a really... Like, number one, he's got like the most likable face. And then he's very natural, like whenever he was on the mic or talking or acting in a skit or whatever. I really feel like that's kind of what Heavy Machinery needs, is like that one. Like there's Otis, but Otis is kind of like I want to say Taz, but not Taz from wrestling, Taz from the cartoons, the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of the Otis character. You know, he's crazy. Yeah.
More like seemingly has limitless energy.
Right, exactly. But he's not going to be the most articulate guy in the world, and you don't want him to be. You need a balance. And Tucker Knight, I don't hear him talk.
Yeah.
Like, I never see him or hear him talk. Bull Dempsey is the kind of guy, he looks like he could be ready. Like, he looked ready for the WWE, you know? And then, I don't know if it was a mutual release or if he asked for it or if they wanted him out. I don't know what it was.
I mean, the very nature of the Bull Fit gimmick,
mm-hmm.
I can see how them saying, hey, we're gonna do this gimmick where you're overweight, you need to lose weight.
I could
see how that might be a little off-putting, especially if it was kind of rooted in the actual wants of the higher ups in NXT.
Yeah. Hey, Bull, you're tubby, we're gonna do a gimmick with that, okay?
Really?
Yeah, you're gonna be Bull Fit, get it? Because it's like, instead of bullshit, it's Bull Fit. Get it? As we're going to do with you. You want to get released?
Okay. You want to get released. Anyways, Bull Dempsey is taking on Baron Corbin, who was, I think, relatively new to the scene. This match happened because Baron Corbin beat Bull Dempsey in this tournament to determine a new number one contender
right.
NXT title. Baron beat Bull, and then Baron had a match again.
I forget, there was a flashback of it. Finn? Was it Finn?
It must have been Neville. Neville.
Okay.
Bull came out and cost him the match, and that was Baron's first loss in NXT.
Hey.
So Baron won in Retribution.
Mm-hmm.
Decent enough match.
No, it wasn't. It was not a very good match. It was like it was for Baron Corbin, Bull Dempsey, but there was that botch when people just went crazy.
Oh yeah, when Bull didn't go over the top rope.
It was
Baron clothesline him with the top rope or tried to. Baron falls out.
They were both, I think, supposed to tumble out.
Yes,
Baron's Bull, the only one who went over.
Bull didn't,
but then Bull did.
Yeah, he did.
He tossed himself over the rope, and it didn't make a lick of sense. And the crowd immediately was like, "No,
yeah,
foul! You can't do that."
Yeah.
So I don't. I mean, the match is what we'd kind of expect from these two guys. Think about Bull Dempsey; he doesn't have to put on a great match.
No.
Because everything, like, he's a big hoss dude.
But, like, he suplexed Corbin on the ramp. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was interesting that it was a no DQ match, but the only time anything got brought in was the finish where Bull brought a chair in, and Roddy's about to swing Baron. Baron ducks it, hits him at the end of days.
Yeah.
But, like, why not utilize more weaponry?
Yeah, I know. And I like at one point, like, Baron Corbin pulled off, like, a very pedestrian move. And then somebody at commentary said, "That's the explosiveness we see."
Oh, I think it's like
Baron
a spine buster or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And I was like, oh, this is really not that great.
Yeah. So he Baron wins, and he puts the chair in the middle of the ring and just sits there for a little bit.
I remember this is like one of my first, I kind of remember watching this, and it was like one of the first times I saw Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember liking, I mean, even then, I sort of understood what the deal was. Like, oh, he's a big meanie. Like, he's a big mean dude.
But I think back then, he wasn't, you know, at most he was a tweener. I don't think he was a full-fledged heel back then because he was getting pops. I remember he was on the undefeated streak and people were into him.
Yeah.
So
because you could tell that the WWE liked him. He had a great look. And he had more hair on top of his head.
But yeah,
you didn't
true.
Even see back then. That was going pretty quick.
So he was signed with 2012 and then was 2013 and 2014. Had some TV time. Took a leave. Came back as repackaged. On September 11th, must be 2014.
Remember his weird face promo?
Yeah.
Weird.
So he had not been on the scene but for, 6 months.
Yeah, I liked him from the get. I thought he was pretty cool. But then, I mean, he's never been a great wrestler.
No.
But he's improved.
Yeah, he has.
He's gotten
considerably.
Yeah.
Next, Lucha Dragons versus tag team champions Blake and Murphy. This was kind of a sloppy match at points.
This is a sloppy match, but again, they never let Kalisto do this stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he get it's so different. So he still does the thing where he like the dude's on his knees floor.
The kind of the Hurricane Runner when the guy's on his knees and he drives her head into the ground.
Yeah.
He's done that on the main roster before.
No, he's done that on the main roster, but usually the guy just sort of lands flat. They let, I don't know which one, Blake or Murphy, one of them, spike the living crap out of his own head to sell this. And it looked amazing.
Yeah.
It just felt faster and like he was doing more, Kalisto I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And doing more interesting things. Even Blake and Murphy came off as kind of an exciting wrestling act.
Oh, they're not bad wrestlers, yeah.
They're good wrestlers.
Yeah.
Do you think for a second we'd get this kind of performance out of them on just a normal episode of like SmackDown?
No.
No, we wouldn't. We would never get that. They don't let them do that on the main roster. And that's why watching these, it's almost frustrating because these guys are like really killing themselves
mm-hmm.
to like put on these great matches. And I mean, maybe part of it is, hey, you guys are going to be working 300 dates a year.
You got to save yourself a little
bit.
You got to ease up
a little bit.
You know, save the really good stuff for the pay-per-views.
That could be.
There was a couple botches during this match. Sin Cara botched, seemed like he was trying to do a head scissors on Blake, and both his legs were on the same side. So he didn't scissor at all.
Yeah.
And so when he turned, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And Blake was kind of looking around to see what was going on while Sin Cara kind of flew off the side of him. I'm not sure who's exact, you know, what the botch was, but it seems like it was supposed to be a head scissors.
Yeah.
Kalisto was going to do a plancha, slipped,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of recovered well enough to do a slingshot kind of crossbody thing onto the outside, but the crowd still gave him some crap for it.
Yeah.
The crowd seemed much more unforgiving.
Yeah, they did. They did.
For the show.
They weren't taking that, man. They weren't dealing with that.
Wesley Blake eventually pinned Sin Cara after hitting a frog splash on him.
Mm-hmm.
Blake and Murphy retain. After the match, there was a Solomon Crowe teaser. I think. Because he debuted the next week.
Oh, did he?
But here's the thing. So this played.
I know what you're gonna
say. And then later on, they were showing highlights from Sami Zayn's celebration, the previous takeover.
It's right there.
Who was there but Sami Callihan?
Yeah, I know. I know. I think. So I know he, like, wasn't he injured a bunch?
Oh, maybe. He was in developmental for a while.
Leading up to that? Okay. That's so weird. It's so weird that he was in, like, if he was in developmental for a while.
I think he's in developmental for 3 years.
Man, he must have learned a lot because, like,
yeah, signed end of 2012.
His actual NXT on TV stint as Solomon Crowe was so short, and then he came out on the independent circuit and he was like amazing wrestling guy.
Yeah, so he debuted on the February 18th episode of NXT, and then November he was gone.
What month was this?
February.
This was February
2015. Yeah,
and he debuted when?
The following week.
Wow.
Or the following Wednesday. It might be the following episode.
Yeah.
And then a matter of 9 months later, he was gone. That's crazy.
I wouldn't mind watching. I might actually watch like some of the episodes, like when his debut episode, and see exactly how they approach the hacker gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, because I have no idea how they did
exactly.
I don't even know how you would do that. Is he taking over Titantron stop?
Because the vignettes and little promo videos were really cool. They're really well done.
Yeah, they're neat. Yeah. I mean, they had cool...
Glitchy hacker stuff.
Ooh, he's a hacker.
And the robotic voice. That was all neat.
Yeah, so cheesy.
But it was neat. Now with like Mr. Robot and everything, that's the end thing.
Yeah, I know. That's a guy that I sort of turned around on too once he got to the independent circuit. Because I remember watching him in NXT and I was not impressed by Solomon Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
But then like when we saw him live, I was like, oh my God, this is a...
Yeah. He works really fast.
This dude's rad.
He's constantly running.
Yeah.
Next, Neville.
He's constantly running.
Neville versus Finn Balor, the winner, number one contender to the NXT title.
Yeah, hell of a match.
Neville, former champion Finn Balor, signed 7 months prior to this match.
Yeah, Neville right after this went to the main roster.
Pretty quickly after, yeah.
After an amazing run in NXT, so this is sort of his, you know...
Goodbye.
Finn Balor, yeah, like you said, just signed 7 months prior. I forgot that his rise wasn't as sort of meteoric as I thought I remembered it. I mean, I know he didn't lose... But I felt like that I for some reason in my head, I thought that he was inserted into the main event scene like immediately, but it didn't really happen that way.
No, because he was around for a little bit, and then he won this match, and then Owens and Zayn were still in their feud through the summer.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until the next fall, I think, because Owens had the belt for about 5 months.
Okay.
So it took him a while to get his title shot.
Yeah.
Finn, that is.
Yeah.
I think part of that time, Owens had a knee injury, too, so he didn't even defend the belt.
My sense of time continuity is just so wonky. I mean, that's just me.
And I believe the first Dusty Classic happened before Finn was champ, too, right? Or was Finn champ?
No, I think that happened. So, let's see here. He beat Neville at Rival. He received a title match against Kevin Owens on March 25th, but was unsuccessful.
Oh, so he did get a pretty quick title shot.
So he lost against Kevin Owens, like, off the bat? That's kind of interesting. Oh, that's right. That's what I was thinking of. He teamed up. The first thing he did, really, was team up with Hideo Itami.
Oh, that's right.
So, like, they didn't give him, like, a big... These days, he'd get a big, like, you know, you look at Aleister Black. Mm-hmm. That's what they would have done with Finn Balor. Originally, or now, if he showed up now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you bring him in, you team up with Hideo Itami against, like, The Ascension, Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
Oops. Beast in the East, 'cause that's when he won the belt. That was, July. So about 5 months after this.
Oh, yeah, there you go, yeah. Okay, so he defeated Tyler Breeze in May at TakeOver Unstoppable, and then he got another title shot against Owens at Beast in the East in Tokyo. I wonder if there were shenanigans in that first title. I feel like I saw that.
Yeah,
there had to have been shenanigans.
Starting with the previous takeover, I started watching NXT, their weekly show, on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There had to have been shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, let's talk about this match some more because it was really good.
It was really good. This is fantastic. This is like one of those matches where I was like, oh, yeah, Neville. I can watch Neville. I can watch Neville just for his moves, just for his matches. They're fantastic.
There's this great bit of storytelling where twice Finn was going for a tope, and then Neville would always find a way to get out to avoid it. And then finally Finn hit it and just kicked off. Like, the last third of this match was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was all just like, it was like a ton of false finishes. Everybody trying to hit moves, not hitting their moves, you know, and then hitting their moves and then, you know, kicking out of them.
And move, counter move.
Yeah,
another counter after that. Because Finn pretty much drop kicks Neville through the guardrail
on
the outside.
Yeah.
Finn gets Neville back in the ring, hits a double stomp from the top rope on the back of Neville's head. And Neville kicks out. Spot where Finn hits a Pele kick. Neville, in the midst of selling, hits a super kick on Finn. They both fall the mat. Neville hits two German suplexes and a second rope, like, corkscrew moonsault type thing. Balor kicks out at two.
Does Finn do the Bloody Sunday anymore?
No.
He doesn't do that anymore.
No, that's a good move.
Yeah,
you get that on Neville.
Because
Neville kicked out.
When did he...
They call it something else, like the 19...
Yeah, that's right. They call it like the 1940... No, 19... yeah, it was a significant year in Ireland.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Neville kicked out of that.
1960.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called it. Neville goes for the red arrow. Finn raises his knees. As Neville makes impact, Finn goes for a roll-up. Neville kicks out at two. Finally, Finn wins with the coup de grace.
Yeah.
New number one contender.
Yeah. That was a vicious-looking coup de grace,
too. Yeah, it was.
It was like, it looked like he put... Usually, he just sort of falls backwards. This looked like it was like a low-key version.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he freaking put stank in it.
I know.
It was good. No, it was a hell of a match.
Yeah, it was really good.
Speaking of a hell of a match, next up we had the Four Horsewomen, Bayley versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch
versus
Charlotte.
NXT Women's Champion Charlotte.
That's correct.
It's really strange seeing Becky wrestle without really a gimmick.
Yeah, right. She was just Becky Lynch.
Yeah. She didn't do the steampunk thing yet.
But again, like, man, there were so many things in this match that you just don't see these days. They don't book them to do like certain things.
I know.
Like, the pace was just absolutely furious, you know?
It really was. And there was the story going into it where Sasha and Becky kind of had an uneasy alliance. And that kind of was put aside pretty quickly.
Bayley, it seemed like her story going into it was like sort of shedding any doubt that she can be kind of...
A contender.
Aggressive. Yeah,
contender,
but also aggressive. Like, she can, there's that side to her
where
she can flip the mean switch.
Yeah. And she was super over.
I mean, especially at
the last half of this match, the crowd was
hugely
super
over.
Super hot for Bayley. Sasha and Becky worked together pretty early on. They threw Charlotte into the LED board ringside.
Yeah.
And it did some glitchy stuff, so you knew it was broken.
Oh, I thought it was Solomon Crow back there.
Oh, could be. He's underneath the ring pressing buttons.
That's what he does. That's his hacker gimmick.
Just under the ring.
Yeah.
So it takes Charlotte out of the match for a little bit. Sasha and Becky try to pin Bayley at the same time. Goodbye, alliance, especially after Becky hits Sasha with the pump handle suplex.
Oh, that was rad.
That was cool.
She tossed her.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Sasha evades Charlotte, and then Charlotte spears Becky. This is all bang, bang, bang.
The pace was so fast.
I know.
It was fantastic.
And pretty much right after that, Charlotte gets Sasha in like a wheelbarrow thing. Bayley runs into the ring and does a code breaker.
Oh, that was awesome. That was so rad.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Sasha gets both Charlotte and Becky up for the knees from the corner, does both of them. Bayley hits a Frankensteiner on Charlotte. Hits Bayley to belly on Charlotte too. Becky pulls her off while she tries to make the pin.
Lots of near falls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bayley and Becky are on the outside. Sasha hits them with a suicide dive. And then Charlotte takes everyone out with like a slingshot tope.
Yeah.
I guess maybe she hadn't done the moonsault, figured out the moonsault yet. That'd be crazy if she'd done the moonsault there.
So I'm going to save that for main roster.
Could be. Bayley hits a second rope, Bayley to belly on Charlotte, I think.
Yeah.
And then Sasha pulls her off while she's trying to pin. Sasha then goes for the pin. Charlotte kicks out. Charlotte eventually puts Charlotte in the bank statement. Couldn't get Charlotte to tap, so she transitioned to a pin.
She had that torque going really hardcore,
too.
Like, they really milked that for a lot of drama. Yeah. And then, transitioned to a pin, and by that time, Charlotte was too exhausted to kick out.
So, your new women's champion, Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd hold that belt till August when she took on Bayley.
Great moment, too, between her and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Where they... It was like shake hands, no hug, and then Sasha pushed Charlotte away.
It was, yeah. I don't think they probably rehearsed it beforehand, and I think Charlotte jumped the gun a little bit because she reached out the hand, and then Sasha was gonna like saunter in for like, no, this is a hug moment, and Charlotte kind of jumped the gun and like grabbed her.
Yeah, grabbed her almost by the face.
Yeah, and like pulled her in for a hug, and then Sasha was like, you know, that's not into my character to just accept that.
I know. It was also cool when the ref tried to raise Sasha's hand at first.
Oh, yeah.
She like yelled at him, don't touch me.
Yeah, she was yelling at everybody. I think I remember that story too, is that Triple H backstage was like, you know, instead of yelling at the crowd, I told you so, you could have taken your emotional moment. And Sasha was like, that's not my character to do that. But then I think eventually she did when she had her goodbye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after the moment with Charlotte, they cut to the replay. They come back, and she's trying to contain her emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see it there.
Triple H is like, you know, kayfabe is dead. You can do
you
it.
You can have your moment.
Have your moment. Tell him what your real name is. Kayfabe is dead, man.
After that, we had a really awesome Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn package. They really hit a home run with this storyline, man.
Big time.
I love that part where Kevin Owens was talking about, I just blanked on it too, where he kind of stumbles over his words.
Oh, when he talks about Sami Zayn, how he has nothing but himself to fight over?
Yes.
Yeah, he said, I've got my family.
But like before, he starts to say something and he stops.
He stops himself.
And it starts over.
I know.
And it seems so natural.
Yeah, it really does. I know.
So good. As soon as Kevin Owens showed up in NXT, I didn't really watch much of his stuff, but as soon as he showed up, I was like, oh, this guy's great. He's such a low-key, menacing quality to him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the thought that like... I know, like we didn't really have our eye on the independent scene like we do now,
mm-hmm.
And the idea that Kevin said for the marks out there who were paying attention to that, this must have been such a massive thing. It's kind of akin to finally seeing Adam Cole show up.
I know
it's kind of like that, but I think kind of tenfold because now it's like almost kind of expected.
Everybody you reach a certain point of popularity in the indies, it's almost like, okay, now you can go to WWE. Mm-hmm. Back then in 2015, it wasn't as commonplace as it is now.
I mean, back then they were still giving people different names.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Owens was... Who came in after Owens? I mean, Samoa Joe came in and Shinsuke Nakamura came in after that. They got to keep their names, mm-hmm. you know? So at mm-hmm. that point, they pretty much stopped doing that. God, when's the last time... When's the last time a name came in and they made him change their name?
Aleister Black,
you're right.
But again, we knew who Tommy End is, mm-hmm. but since he didn't wrestle, I'm guessing, in like either Ring of Honor or Impact or anything like that, they thought, okay, we can repackage him since he doesn't have a strong brand in the States.
Yeah.
We can repackage him and then own that IP.
Yeah, you're right.
Whereas Adam Cole has a strong brand.
I wonder if they're going to rename Donovan Dijak. Probably not, given that he's probably going to be with the Ring of Honor guys.
Yeah, and they already advertised they signed him as Donovan Dijak.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with...
They've done it with Hideo Itami.
Fergal Devitt, too.
Yeah.
You know? I don't remember like an announcement of Tommy End, though.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't.
No, on the website, when he's first signed, they had that little workout video with him, and they referenced him as Tommy End.
That's
when he actually debuted.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But they let Roderick Strong keep his name.
Yeah, they let him keep his name. So. Leo Rush, he kept his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be really surprised if Donovan Dijak was forced to or asked to change his name.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense, especially like that's the thing that Ring of Honor crew needs. They need that big dude.
Yep.
You know?
The Hoss.
The Hoss. Yeah, according to WWE, that's a Hoss.
Yeah. So great package, great storytelling, great way to recap 15 years of backstory into 3 minutes.
I like your note here. The first Owen shirt is still the best.
It's still his best Owen shirt.
Let me ask you, was it just the sound quality or was his theme song
a little different? It was a little different.
Tiny bit like the instrumentation or something.
Yeah, there was some extra effects on one of the guitar parts to sound like.
And it felt like it was like, I don't know, felt like a bit less, I don't know. Yeah,
it's probably a little bit sound, but it sounded like some of the instruments were treated a little differently.
I think so, yeah. But no, the shirt with the duct tape. God, it was so great.
Still the best Kevin Owens shirt.
It really is. Yeah.
Still kicking myself for not buying one. Match starts. Kevin Owens stalls. Rolls out of the ring. Paces around a little bit. Trying to get in Sami Zayn's head. Sami's had enough. And he does a tope over the ref.
You know what's funny about this match, too? Again, I'm just illustrating how crap my memory is. For some reason, I thought this was a total Kevin Owens squash match over Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of that end. That end was so off the hook brutal.
Oh, I know.
I, for some reason, I was like, In my head, I was like, oh, man.
Well, the match is, if you break it down, thirds, the first third, Owens more or less does dominate. The middle third is Sammy's.
Yeah.
And then after Sammy hits his head on the ramp, then it's all Owens. Again, Sammy is selling like crazy. Every shot, dude. Everything from Owens, Sammy is just selling.
And again, I'll reiterate, you don't see this anymore.
No. Not to this degree,
Not to this degree. Even with Kevin Owens, who's like one of the best workers right now.
Yeah.
Like this level, you can tell there was just an extra spring in his step, you know, for such a big moment for him. Maybe that was it. But the fact that these guys have, you know, wrestled each other in with each other a million times, this was seriously them putting everything out there.
I mean, there's this one move where Owen suplexed Zayn onto the ropes. And normally people, they get suplexed and they'll fall over.
Right.
Sammy, right when he hits the ropes, he managed to bounce himself up, arch his back.
Yeah.
So he's... You know, he's like almost bowed and then flips over.
I know.
Just adding that little extra bit to it.
It was like, it was just this short of Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was selling the crap out of everything.
But it was never cartoonish at any point.
Right. No, it wasn't. It was just very brutal.
And they're really pushing the story of the whole story of this match from Sammy's angle, at least, was his heart, his ability to come back. His refusal to quit.
The kick out from, I think it was like the pop up, like maybe.
Where he just rolls over?
The one where he just goes like this.
Yeah.
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 Oh, that was beautiful.
That was so good.
That was absolutely beautiful.
At one point, Owens goes for an apron powerbomb. Sammy grabs the ropes, kicks Owens, does like a springboard moonsault onto him. And that's when he hits his head on the ramp. And they're really selling the fact that Sammy kind of had cobwebs going on up there.
Yeah, yeah,
He gets back in the ring and sets him up for a haluva kick. And as he tries to run towards him, he stumbles and has to go back to the corner, runs again. Owens counters the pop-up powerbomb, powerbombs him. This one goes for the... No, he goes for a standard cover for here. Zayn kicks out. Owens powerbombs him two more times. And that's when he does the kind of just roll over.
Yeah, just rolls out of it.
Trainer comes out, does a quick check on Sammy. Owens says, get out of here.
Yeah.
Picks up Zayn, powerbombs him twice more. And the ref's talking to the trainers, and trainers are all, stop the match.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop the match. And the ref's all.
Yeah. It was like a, like, I remember watching
it. It was a TKO, essentially.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
That that's how that would end the match. It was just brilliant storytelling all the way to the end where they literally just have to stop the match.
And there was that kind of the sense of confusion because the ref called for the bell and they kind of raised Owen's hand.
Yeah.
But like, did he really win?
Yeah.
And then the ref comes and brings the belt. I'm like, there's no announcement. Brings the belt, gives it to Owens, and then JoJo announces that the new champion is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And there is this mix of cheers from the Owens marks and then some boos.
Yeah.
Because even before this match, there was a steady stream of boos for Owens just based on what he did to Zayn previously, because Zayn was huge fan favorite.
Oh, yeah, big time. Huge. Yeah. Because his win was like...
This cathartic moment, you
like
know?
A 3-year journey to finally doing this, and this big old bully comes along and
ruins everything,
murders them. I mean, it's brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. Excuse me. So, fantastic NXT rival.
Yes,
it was the last time they ever used the term rival in a takeover.
Yeah, they stopped doing the for the most part. I think now they just name after the cities they're in. They didn't really put the subtitles anymore.
After that, So, that was fun. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And now we're going to announce the winner. This is the winners of the signed copy of Second Nature for our art contest.
Yes, first winner is
Cheap Skates Kid from Dearborn, Michigan. And the next winner is Nathan Perry from Port Charlotte, Florida.
Congratulations.
Well done, everybody.
Thank you for your submissions, everybody.
Thank you for everybody who sent in your submissions. We really appreciate it. And we'll get these books out ASAP.
Yes.
So, that's it for now. We're going to figure out what the next
round of options are going to be.
Yeah, and then we'll let you guys know on the Twitter. So be sure to follow us.
Patreon.
Patreon. But then we're going to let the people out there know after that's been decided.
Yes.
So they can watch in advance of the next show.
Yes.
So thank you very much. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.